Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Kasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Kasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Kasim, and our guest today, Stephen Bogner. So, Stephen, if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Certainly, I'd love to. My name is Steve Bognar, or Stephen Bognar, and I am from Western Massachusetts, and I am the owner and operator at Sales Made Clear. And what I do is I take the guesswork out of selling so that you can have your best year every year.
Awesome. So how did you get into sales in the first place?
It was really, really accidental. And I have to emphasize that I actually started out pursuing a career in music as a singer and guitarist. And I was even kind of in the early days of setting up tours and such. And two of my buddies, they were brothers in the band. We had a three piece, and their father owned a sign shop that was really successful, you know, $1 million sign shop. And we were going to go on tour. And he said to his sons, listen, either I'm going to, you know, retire and sell this thing and you guys can keep doing the music thing, which he was, you know, totally open to, or I'd like to pass it on to you and have you, you know, carry over the business. And it was sort of like, kind of go down the music path in this era where YouTube was, you know, still emerging and things were all kind of dicey and messed up, or inherit a successful $1 million business. And you obviously know what they picked. So I ended up kind of taking odd jobs, and I was looking for a mattress, funny enough, and a buddy of mine happened to work at a leading sleep shop, and he was a salesman there. And he was like, hey, what have you been up to? And I kind of told him this exact story. And he's like, you know what? I think you'd be good at this. And back then, I had long hair and was used to like staying up late in bars and singing hard rock. And here I am 10 years later, and I couldn't love sales more. So, you know, the paths are not always straight to where we're going to land, but that's kind of how it happens.
Awesome. So what was your biggest challenge when starting your sales career?
I think, and I would say this, you know, just as a general rule for anyone, like letting go of yourself and what you necessarily think is right all the time. I found that, so there's something my mentor told me, and it's not copyright, is whether it's copied right. And what I started to do when I wasn't being so successful was asking a lot of, you know, people in my district, people in the company, or even people kind of in adjacent companies who did similar things, like, hey, I noticed that you happen to be particularly good at this one thing that I'm bad at. So what is that? And I just literally, even though it may to me have been kind of completely foreign and odd, I was like, okay, that maybe that's not me, but let me try that. And, you know, over time, I kind of developed this amalgamation of all of these different people's methods. And I think what led me, it, you know, at least to where I am now, where I'm writing a book on selling as a, you know, the psychology behind it, and kind of the methodology behind it, was I was so fascinated how just a few different words or just these different ways of approaching things could dramatically change the selling landscape. And I went from being broke and kind of borrowing money from mom and dad to, oh, wow, I can actually survive on my own now. And I think selling is kind of beautiful because it, no matter, you know, your background or where you come from or your education level, you can, you know, and, you know, a lot of people, and this is one thing I write about in my book, but it's, people are always thinking about, oh, you know, the multi-million dollar, I'm going to sit with Grant Cardone and go on a private jet. But like, how about I have, you know, came with nothing and I have a nice house. It's not a big house. I own my own car. I have a, you know, wonderful puppies and, you know, and a wife to be. Like, that's great. That's awesome. You know, I was living out of my car for a period. So like, this is really fantastic. So for me, sales is a great bridge for people that are saying like, hey, where can I go? I'll tell you what, I can drop you in any sales environment and, you know, you can get a place on your own and feed yourself. I can't think of anything that can that quickly, you know, change your life.
Oh, sorry, man. This happens a lot to me.
No worries.
Okay, so would you please let me know what was the situation in your business, in your business journey?
So there's kind of, there's definitely a couple of ahas. And I think progressively as time goes on, and this goes back to the like losing myself in it, like I run into, oh, you know, I really thought like, okay, that's the way things are, right? And I'm like, this is it. This is the path. This is the one way, the true forever and the holy. And then I kind of go down that road for a little while. I'm like, wow, it actually turns out that the world is a lot more complicated than that. So that's interesting. So I think the first moment was, and this is what led me to kind of starting my own business, was as I grew in sales, you know, you kind of come to meet a lot of business owners and a lot of people. Like if you're good at what you do, you get like job offers regularly. Like people come in and be like, oh wow, you're really great, like you want to come work for me and do this. And rather than necessarily come work for them, which at times like I may have, I would say, hey, can I get your number? Can I buy you lunch? Can I ask you, you know, how did you make this, you know, $1 million jewelry store? Or how did you build this construction company, whatever the case may be? And surprisingly, when you ask people to talk about themselves, they're like really excited to do that, as I'm sure you guys have experienced. So, and by the way, if I hadn't said it publicly yet, I'm super grateful. So, you know, and humble. Thank you so much for having me on. So I started talking to them, and outside of the kind of philosophical nature of like, why did you start a business? But more into the like, how did you do this thing? Like, I remember asking someone who, multimillionaire, multiple cars, multiple houses, I said, oh, what kind of metrics do you use? And he was like, huh? And I was like blown away. I couldn't understand, because working, you know, in corporate sales and corporate sales management, it was like, these were the things that, you know, the Walmarts of the world and kind of, you know, the big companies, like this was their bread and butter. This was like the basic stuff, you know, the 1-2 punch. There was nothing complicated here. This is just how it was done. And this is how they built billion-dollar empires. And I'm sitting there, you know, and as I continued to talk to more and more sales or business owners, I was like asking them like, hey, do you guys like have a sales process? What does that look like? Do you guys do this and that? And, you know, what's your ideal customer? And I would continue to get the, huh? And I was just absolutely blown away. And what I realized is the difference between mom and pop and, you know, Walmart is Walmart knows they're a sales company. And sometimes mom and pop, and I would say, you know, sometimes is being very generous. Most of the time, mom and pop does not. And when I started thinking about like, what can I offer in terms of like business strategy, it was like, it's right here. Like, these are the things that I've been doing forever. And they're not even necessarily complicated things. I think that's the thing that a lot of people, when they're starting businesses, don't consider is, you know, if you go and ask a plumber, hey, what's the number one job you do? It's probably going to some old lady's house and unclogging a drain. It's not, we could probably do it, right? It's not a particularly nuanced thing. Now, they can do many more things than that, and they're incredibly knowledgeable and skilled at what they do. But by and large, the bulk of their business is coming from this, you know, relatively mundane practice, which lay people are just really not educated on. And that's perfectly okay. And that's why we have those people. So same thing for people who start businesses. You know, sometimes we want to look at this kind of situation where like, oh, like, how do we do like just the most like interesting, complicated, special, I'm the most unique flower on the wall sort of situation. You don't have to do that. Like, identify a core competency of yours where the general population doesn't have that thing, and just do that one thing. I promise you, you'll be successful. Like, that's kind of it. Getting sidetracked here for a moment. You know, I basically, the company I was working for got bought out, and I had been lied to by friends and family for many years, not intentionally. You know, they had the best of intentions, but it was sort of like, oh, you know, the safe route, like, you know, take the job and go work for these people and go do this thing. And like, you'll be safe. You'll be okay. And the fact is, when the entirety of your income in your life is based around a group of people in a shadowy boardroom who have probably little interest outside of the, you know, meager economic benefit you provide them, which they could easily replace you, you find that, you know, when it comes down to things like acquisitions, suddenly you're not that important. And, you know, in the company I was working for, I was doing really well. I won a divisional sales award. I was like doubling the volume of stores. And I was like kind of guaranteed this this area manager position. And then this big giant company comes in and buys us up. And then all of a sudden it was like, whoa, who's that Steve guy? I've never met this man before in my life. I have nothing to do with him, really. And my salary dropped and my hours increased. And that was the moment when I was like, I've had enough. And that is really what kind of predated that earlier conversation of, okay, like how do I provide value and how do I do these things? And it was realizing that selling, which is the number one driver of business. And I want to emphasize this, like for your audience, like, listen, guys, look at the stats. Within 5 years, 50% of businesses will fail. That's a coin toss. That's not good. TaskDrive did a study and they asked people, hey, how effective is your sales training? You know, they said only 17% of them said, oh yeah, our sales training is good. That's not good, because it turns out that the number one cause of business failure by 82% is a lack of sales. So we have poor sales training, lack of sales, and 50% of the companies are closing. So I felt like, hey, you know, maybe I have something to offer.
That's awesome. And Steven, I got to tell you, because for me, my story is the same. You know, it was actually about not even that long ago, 4 months ago, when I took this company full time. I was doing consulting, and then my company I was working for was bought out by one of these large consulting firms. And they were like, oh, now you have to interview for your job. I'm like, what are you talking about? I interviewed for my job. Like, I already had my job. And then they were like, oh, we're going to, you know, the whole thing was a mess. And I'm like, you know what? I have some time now. Let me work on our company. And ever since then, like, things have taken off. So I can relate 100%. I had a very similar story.
Who's this Dan guy that's been on our payroll all this time that we've been paying money to and has been making us probably 10x what we've been paying him? Who is this guy?
Yeah, exactly. I was like, this is just
it's wild.
It's insane. Yeah, it is. So I guess, what is the role of technology in your business?
It's probably the same role that is kind of generally for businesses now, particularly in sort of the, you know, post C word COVID climate we're living in, which is, you know, primarily the customer is communicated to not through the traditional advertising channels anymore, but through your TikToks and your YouTubes and so on and so forth. So one of the first things I did is I invested in getting like lighting equipment and a camera and other things. And like, I'm just about to start releasing stuff, but I've been working on for quite a while now, kind of a bevy of videos, like teaching stuff. So for me, the technology works as an expertise builder first, and a way of providing value, you know, upfront to the audience, as a way of getting them kind of into knowing me and having a relationship with me. Outside of that, you know, I mean, there's kind of your standard stuff, you know, your CRMs and things like that. But right now, at least for what I'm doing outside of typical fare, like if this conversation is going the route of AI, like that's for me not a reality and like in what I'm currently doing. I'm certainly sure that this, as soon as I can get a robot Jarvis to like, you know, write notes for me in emails, I will be absolutely doing that, because I couldn't be bothered to, you know, sit there for hours every day, like, hi, Mr. and Mrs. Who, and this is blah, blah, blah. And like, if I can have a robot do that for me, that's a big thumbs up. So anyone who's, you know, worried about that, I don't really understand. But
so how you can track the effectiveness of using AI in your business?
I'm not using the AI in my business. Down the road, probably. But yeah, right now, that's not a reality for me. It's what I would say.
Okay, got it. Okay, so if we go for the truck technology other than AI, then what do you think, what are the benefits of investing in technology for whatever you're doing? Even without AI, like, how do you think, like, how it is going to help?
Oh, the benefits long-term of technology and AI general? Sure. I mean, I want to be careful here and preface this by saying, like, you know, my primary expertise is on the, like, psychology and methodology of selling specifically. So, like, full disclosure, audience, this is coming from the source of I made it up. So this is just kind of personal opinion. I don't want to give the idea that I have any real expertise in this particular area. But you know, people, even around technology that we're using today, like smartphones, you run into a certain demographic, particularly like older folks, and it's like, oh, I can't, you know, handle these smartphones. And I always want to say to them, like, do you write letters? And when you write them, are you using a quill, you know, in ink? Like, I can't wait to hitch up my horse and, you know, ride down the road for 3 days to see my friend instead of like taking a plane or something. Like, you know, to me, and I want to kind of little Barry Bonds asterisk here, like, it is good to fear the misuse of technology, okay? Like, any technology, I have a car. That is a deadly, like, multi-ton hunk of metal that I could ride into a crowd. That would be bad, right? AI or any technology can 100% be used negatively. But the thought that we're just going to be like, hey, by the way, this thing that makes everyone's life more convenient and makes a lot of money, yeah, let's not do that. It's happening. It's going to happen. There's no not happening. You can either deal with it in a moralistic way on your own grounds and handle it and integrate it into your business and be successful, or you can sit there in the pews and watch everybody else as they make money. So, you know, for me, it's kind of a silly thing when I see businesses not wanting to embrace technology as it evolves, as long as it's relevant to them, right? It needs to be relevant within your processes. Like, for me, in terms of like the audience and the scope I'm working at, it's not something I can integrate now. But at scale, you know, particularly when we're talking about, you know, getting into like big national, like million-dollar things, like, you absolutely 100% should be using it. And I don't know why you aren't. It's silly you, and shame on you. And I'm writing a letter to your mother. So that's my view on that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. So what would you say? I mean, obviously you've worked with lots of people. What would you say makes somebody successful being in sales? Because I think a lot of people go into it, or they think it's something where you can't be successful. They think, oh, you know, it's very difficult. But what in your mind, like, one quality specifically makes somebody successful in sales?
This is definitely this is a step and thinker, because I think for me, there's a couple of them. If I had to distill it, it goes a little bit back to what I mentioned earlier about letting go of yourself.
You can give a few. Top ones.
I always like to think carefully, okay? I don't want to rush into an answer. I want to make sure what I'm saying is worthwhile. You can just, you know, edit the dead air, right? So I'll say this. Number one, a willingness to change and adapt. Even in the time, you know, that I've been, like, 10 years is not a small amount of time, but, you know, even in that time, I've seen a tremendous change in the environment and in the customer and their preferences and the way that they communicate and I communicate with them. And a willingness to adapt is definitely important. But I'd say the most important thing is you have to understand that selling is a principled craft. And I want to say this for any salespeople out there, please, I will debate you. I'll go on 60 minutes. I don't care. Whatever you got to say, like, selling is a science. There is a clear psychology behind it. Just because you don't understand it or you don't want to do the work to research it. And here's the crazy thing. We've had selling, like, modern selling processes since Dale Carnegie, 100 years. But to date, no one has sought to define what selling is. That's why I did my book. So the number one thing is, don't think that you have to be some, like, bombastic, shark-suited car salesman, okay? Don't think that you have to, you know, I don't even have hair. Don't think you have to slick back your hair. Like, that does not a good salesperson make, okay? There are clear, identifiable steps that you can follow, that you can employ to be successful. You can learn. There's books that you can read. There's things that you can do, classes you can take. You can make yourself a skilled salesperson if you don't start outright, like, being an absolute wonder child, because I was not. I am great at sales now, but I wasn't born that way. I really wasn't. I studied when I was in the bathroom, you know what I was doing? I was on YouTube looking up, oh, hey, here's Jordan Belfort, and here's Victor Antonio, and here's this guy and that guy. I was reading books. I didn't just sit down and let life roll over me. You need to step away from the cold showers motivational BS, because that's not going to make you a good salesperson, okay? It might make you feel cold, or maybe, like, give you a little zip of energy in the morning, which I'm sure it's worthwhile. I would recommend getting a full night's sleep. But anyways, the most important thing is that you approach selling with a clear system in mind. Get to know your audience, get to know how to communicate with them, and leave all of the motivational BS behind. Cause like, we're all sick of it. I'm tired of going on LinkedIn and seeing everybody like, oh, like, hey, you know, be nice to your neighbor, hashtag motivation. And it's just like, wow, that's incredible. And then they have like millions of people following them. And I'm just like, what are you offering? I don't understand. But sorry, go ahead.
That's good. That's good. So what are your top business priorities in next 6 months?
Get the book finished. So everyone's yelling at me, get the book finished. We're very close. I gave you guys like an early preview. So I hope you've enjoyed if you had time. I'm sure, you know, it's a lot of it's mostly done. So it's a lot of pages. So I apologize. I'm sure like, yeah, here's this like small 5-page ebook. And I'm just like, here's this thesaurus I hit you with. So apologies for that, but hope it's enjoyable to you. Primarily, getting the book done, which I'm hoping to have done by the end of September, maybe. I will be throughout like kind of September and onward. There's a lot going on in these next 6 months, but I'll be releasing hopefully weekly videos. I'd like to even do more. Like, listen, everyone, I'm going to be teaching everything that I would charge for free. If you follow me on YouTube, okay, Sales Made Clear, I will be teaching you for free. If you go to my website and you sign up, I will give you my book for free. I want you to be successful. There will be people who will need me personally, and I will make money off of them. Okay. I want you to be successful, and I want you to know that you can take anything in life and monetize it and make a living and be happy and not have to bash your head up against the wall to do it. Okay. So the videos, the book, and hopefully preserving my sanity in the middle of that, because I don't have any more hair to lose. So I don't know what it's going to be. Sanity next. That's the next thing. Hair then sanity.
Okay.
So what would you say is the one biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before you started your career?
The path to victory is a winding road. Wherever you think you're going to land, you're wrong. Whoever you think are going to be your friends, you're wrong. Whoever you think you're going to be your lover is, you're wrong. And whoever you think you are, you're wrong. These are all things that change with time. And whether it's under strange auspices or the universe or God or synchronicity or whatever you want to call it, you are a small fish in a pond. You have no power. Give it up. Follow the world, the road and the world wherever it takes you, and pursue it with all your heart and your love and your might, and do the best that you can do. And I promise you that if you don't give up, even when it's grim and nasty and disgusting and you have to drag your stomach across glass, I promise you that you will land in the promised land. Promise to the promised land. How eloquent.
For sure. That's good advice. So if we're going to have this conversation again in 1 year from now, where do you expect things to go for your business?
So I am crazy. And I want to emphasize that I'm a madman. So I'd like it within a few years, but one year would be just wonderful. So in 1 year, I want people to say, oh, who's the marketing guy? Okay, that's Gary V. Okay, we got that. Who's the real estate guy? Oh, that's Grant Cardone. Okay, we got that. Who is the father of modern sales? Oh, that's Steve Bognar. That's what I want.
That's good. That's really good. So somebody wanted to reach out to you. Do you mind sharing your website or the best way to get in contact?
Oh, yeah. I would love to. Thank you so much. Yeah. Salesmadeclear.com. You can sign up for my email list. I'm telling you, stuff's in the pipeline. So you're probably just going to get an email that says, hey, I like you. Thanks for signing up. I'm not going to spam you because I got nothing to spam you with yet, but I will. So look forward to it. It's good. It's free. What can you complain about? All you have to do is just take the notifications and get rid of it. I know that you're getting free coupons from Taco Bell. Don't pretend with me. Okay. YouTube, Sales Made Clear. It's all Sales Made Clear, no matter where you go. You can find me, Stephen Bognar, on LinkedIn, or you can find Sales Made Clear on Instagram or Twitter. All those things. I may not have a bevy of content right now, but you know, he mentioned the 6 month thing, and let's be optimistic and hope that it'll all be there.
Sounds good. Well, Stephen, thank you so much for your time. We're rooting for you. Hopefully, in 1 year from now, we can chat again as your company keeps growing and scaling.
Yeah, thank you guys so much. You've been such a pleasure to talk to, and I really appreciate you know, the opportunity to chat with you.
Likewise, thanks. And thank you for your time.
All right. God bless, guys. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye.